and shame. Set your minds free, no locks and chains. Do what you love, roll the dice. 50-50, we cold as ice. One thing cold, but the pillow turn red. Hey. Can't let that shit get in my head, war gaming.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to Hobby Homies. We are your weekly tabletop podcast.
Every single
I am Shane, hanging out with Cripple Fox.
Me. Did you call me? What'd you call me?
Cripple Fox.
Yeah. I got a cast on my leg. In case anyone can't see. I'm actually holding up for the camera. So if you're listening on Spotify, it sounds like...
You can probably hear it.
A person in a cast.
Mm. And Churchy. We've got Churchy.
Yep. I'm in the void.
Churchy in the void. Today we are talking about a board game we have played a couple of times. Brass Birmingham.
That's right, we are. We're discussing Brass. Mm. We've played it a couple times, and we want to let you know what we think of it, what we like about it, maybe what we dislike about it.
Yep.
So that you, if you're sitting there at home thinking, I've heard of Brass Birmingham, it's the number one game on Board Game Geek. Is it worth it? Should I get it? I don't know if this is like something you should use to measure that.
Yes.
But we hope...
Everything we endorse, you should get.
Didn't we endorse Sky Tier? Actually, yeah. I've thought a lot about that game.
You reckon it's worth a revisit?
I honestly think it's a really good game.
Mm.
The miniatures were beautiful. I liked the gameplay. I just couldn't imagine fitting it into the roster.
True. That's true.
But yeah, I feel like Brass Birmingham is way better than that game.
While we're talking about Brass, I spoke to a couple of coppers today.
All right, hang on. So, just before we talk about that, we are going to talk about Brass Birmingham, the game, fill you in on whatever we know about it. But Shane's just going to go on a tangent for a sec, so bear with us. You spoke to a copper?
Two, actually, yeah.
All right.
So, we were getting Smoko at this cafe that we go to.
Did you send a thing of a copper trying to kick down a door poorly?
Oh, that was a different thing, dude.
What?
Yeah, we were on a job, and like this Hilux with this ratty old trailer rocks up, and we're like, okay, this bloke is going to mow this lawn, but he's bought the wrong equipment. He's so bought the new ute and an old trailer.
So for reference, when Shane says he's on a job, he works in water pipes.
Yeah. Oh, not in the water pipes.
Sometimes.
They're generally small enough that no person could fit inside them. Sometimes they're big enough, but you wouldn't want to be in there.
All right. So you fix water pipes.
Fix water pipes.
And so you've gone to this job where it requires you to fix a pipe.
It was leaking.
The pipe was leaking. The
main was leaking, yeah. So we dug down, we fixed it.
And this is at a house or like near a house?
This is strip at the front. It's a little court. It's actually a quite little court.
All right.
And we're there and then this...
Some blokes rocked
and
up.
They rocked up. They've parked like on the nature strip. We've got three trucks there and a traffic control ute. So we're taking up like the whole court.
Yeah.
And then this you know the undercover in Australia, a lot of our undercover coppers now are driving around like Volkswagen... wagons, right?
Yeah.
They're like real slick. They're real nice, but they've got 400 aerials sticking off. I'm like, you couldn't miss it.
Can I just... That's facts.
Yeah.
But I saw a cop today, zero aerials.
Ah.
In a BM dub.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, this has changed everything I think about the world because now I can't trust any... I used to look for aerials.
yeah.
Because that's how you knew.
That's how you knew.
But this bloke just had lights on. Well, yeah, it's a giveaway when the lights are on, but what if they're off?
Yeah, true.
Anyway, carry on.
True. Anyway, this car rolls in. I'm like, oh, this cop is going to do this guy for parking on the street or something, right?
Yeah.
Lo and behold, a copper gets out of that Hilux.
No.
With this old trailer on the back. And I'm like, what's weird? What's going on?
What is going on?
And they're all like in, they're not in uniform. They're all in casual clothes and they've got their belts on with their handguns and all that sort of jazz.
Hang on.
And they walk up to this house.
Yeah.
Right.
This is becoming the most interesting thing you've ever said.
Probably. Uh-huh. I've never seen anything like it before, dude, right?
All right.
Except for that one time I was at the airport and they were walking around with rifles.
One thing
anyway.
Remember the rifles, Churchy. I need to pull that up.
So there's me, Adrian, our trainee, whose name's Max.
Max.
Hydro operator, Johnny Judson, and two traffic controllers.
Yeah.
And we're all just hanging out and there's all these coppers there.
How many coppers?
Like three to start with, right?
And one of them got out of the Lux.
Yeah, and two got out of the V-dub.
Yeah.
And then they've walked over to this house, which was, we're in... an area of Melbourne's west, which is probably one of the lower economic kind of areas, right?
Sure.
And it is an everyday sort of residential area. This house was, there was no car in the driveway. There was roller shutters on the windows. No sign of people being home, right?
Sure.
Coppers are on there beating on this door.
Beating off the door.
Trying to kick it in. And it was just like, what locks did they use in the door? Because I need those locks.
Right? If they got shutters, yeah, you know they're locking up.
Oh, man.
They're locking up.
Anyway,
they're terror and siege tanking. They're ready to go. They got their defensive line intact.
They were really ready for that. But they eventually got in. And then, like, I guess, like, maybe one of the senior officers, she rolls up. she's live because we're all watching. Yeah. She's like, are they in yet? And we're like, took them a while. And she's like, that's so embarrassing. she didn't care, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually they're in. And then this bloke in the Hilux just reverses this trailer into this guy's driveway, like in one smooth motion. He's done this before,
right? Yeah, because that's not easy to do.
First
of all, you're in a Lux, so you're like your blind spots are rough.
Yep.
At the best of times.
Yep.
And he's got this. And now you got a trailer.
Kind of small but tall trailer. Anyway, so he gets it in there. And then they open the garage door and there's like a washing machine and like a TV. And I'm
classic.
I'm like waiting to see like a whole lot of dope plants, right?
Sure.
Not one.
No, singular marijuana plant.
No, nothing. No.
We say that.
No devil's lettuce.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
So they raided this place.
They raided the joint, yeah.
And you mentioned like there was only three cops at the moment.
Yeah.
So you got the Volkswagen. Did you say it had lots of aerials?
Yeah, like, I don't know, at least like four.
Like it was stacked up.
Yeah.
And two cops got out of that. Yep. Then the Lux.
Just had one bloke in there.
With one, like, fully suited cop or casual?
He was casual dressed, but he had like his belt
off duty.
No, on duty.
You reckon he was gun. No, you reckon he was off duty and they called him up?
Nah, because they got to go to the station to get their firearm.
Right,
you can't take it home.
I don't know. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So he was on duty undercover?
They were all undercover, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but like anyway, they kicked in his door and they took nothing.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Maybe the washing machine.
Well, apparently, we were talking to this bloke who lives across the road.
Yeah.
He's like, that guy owns a couple of houses.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Wrong one.
Yep.
You rolled the dice, you rolled a nat one.
Yeah, your detection skills.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So that was amazing.
Crazy.
That was cool. And they're like yelling, you know, police open up, yada, yada, yada.
They have to, yeah.
Trying to beat this door off and finally the door gave way.
The door came
all
came over them.
Open.
Yeah, it came open. Yeah, wow. Yep.
That's
damn,
pretty cool.
Dude. That's way more interesting than brass. Let's talk more about that. Wait, what did you say about the rifles before?
Oh, dude, I was at the airport waiting for Ollie.
Yeah.
And like, this is...
Ollie's one of our homies in the Discord who flew in to Melbourne. You picked him up.
This is the time that we went into Melbourne, went to that Irish pub.
Oh, that was good. When I thought I was Irish, but then later found out I was actually Scottish.
Yeah.
Scottish.
Don't be ashamed. I'm part Scottish as well.
Well, now I am ashamed. We're basically brothers.
We are
basically. But you're not a Jew.
No.
Look at that. Look at that hair. It's straight as a tack.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even do my hair because it's 37 degrees today.
It's a hot one. Yeah. Carry on.
Anyway, so we're at... Caitlin and I, my wife, we're waiting at the front of the airport for Ollie. He's taken ages.
Yeah, classic Ollie, man.
And we're just hanging out, and then there's like this multi-level car park across from where we were parked. And then I sort of just like looking around, I glance up at like maybe the second or third level up.
Yeah.
And there's two, I hope, police officers walking around with like AR-15s, right?
Wow!
Like I don't know guns. I'm from Australia. They were rifles.
That's
they weren't
so beautiful. They weren't. I don't know guns. I'm from Australia. We don't have those.
We don't have many.
It was a 20. It was a 22.
It's either a 22, or it's like a over and under shotgun.
Yeah, whatever kills a rabbit, that's what we got.
Yeah, or a fox,
possibly a roo. Would you say?
like actual guns.
Actual guns.
Not like farmer guns.
Imported. That M4A1 shit.
Yeah,
from the video games.
Yeah, M16s.
Damn.
I don't know, dude. Anyway, yeah, so I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
you know what? I love people are going to click this episode because it says some bullshit about Brass Birmingham.
And it's been 10 minutes. Holy crap.
Anyway, that's what you get.
For the homies.
That's what you get.
Yep.
That's on you,
so,
to be honest.
Yeah.
If you thought this was an anomaly, you're incorrect. This is an episode of what we do.
This is anomaly.
So, huh? I like that, actually.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Thanks, dude.
That was really
good. I like you a lot.
I like your too, man.
Oh, thanks.
I like your thanks, as well, dude. Churchy. Your, I like your. Brass Birmingham.
Yeah.
It is a board game. It was previously a game. I think just called Brass. I could be wrong. I'm pretty dumb.
Yep.
But they brought out a new version called Brass Birmingham and then redid the previous version and called it Brass Lancashire.
Yep.
And basically, Brass Lancashire is the original.
Set in Lancashire?
Of course.
Yeah.
And then Brass Birmingham is basically the previous game with new rules, kind of like reimagined, yep, tweaked, all that stuff. Made gooder.
Made good.
And indeed, it came out in 2018. I know this without researching because we haven't researched anything for this episode
outside of playing the game. A couple of times. Yeah.
But I know it came out in 2018 because ever since it came out in 2018, which is 5-6 years ago.
Yep.
I've wanted to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the game I've always wanted to buy, but then I bought something else instead.
It's one of those. It's like always just gets cut from the list.
It's always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Never the groom. Yep.
Yeah, all right, dude.
Yep.
That's not... It could be how it works, but it's typically not.
2024, dude.
That's facts.
Yep.
That's actually facts. That's actually facts.
I'm just spitting.
Yeah, you spitting are spitting. Yep. So...
Yep.
I forget what I was saying because of all that garbage you were saying. Yeah, anyway, so I've wanted to buy it since then.
Yep.
And so I've also slowly been watching it climb up the ranks on Board Game Geek.
Right up to number one?
It's now number one.
It's knocked Gloomhaven from its throne.
Uh-huh, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Because essentially people have voted this to be the best board game in the world.
Better than...
A million Sky other Day. Games, which is also great. You should check it out.
Yeah, you should.
But not our episode on it because that was probably season two. So
that was like episode... No, I reckon that was season one, dude.
Wow, definitely episode did not watch that.
Five, maybe.
Do you reckon other people who do podcasts are as insecure about their like early content as
absolutely.
We are?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah,
for sure. I don't know. I'd say we'd be up there.
For sure.
With the most insecure.
Well, yeah, we are probably number one in the most insecure list.
Sure. See? So that's how we relate to Brass Birmingham.
Yep.
It and us are both number one in our respective fields.
Yeah.
So that's good. So let's talk about Brass Birmingham. Because we're halfway through the episode. We haven't said anything about it.
Yep.
So, Shane, tell us about Brass Birmingham.
Brass Birmingham is a game where you build your industrial empire.
Facts.
Set in the late 1700s, you start from building canals and factories to building steam trains and factories.
So, if you sit down and you play this game, you've got a map in front of you that has...
Different locations. Cities, towns...
Birmingham, for example.
Birmingham's there. Nottingham's there too.
What are some of the other... Kitting... What was the one you kept building?
Kittendale. Oxford's there. You can't build there though, but you can buy coal from Oxford.
Oh, there you go. Mm. You paid much more attention.
Yep.
So you've got a map with different locations and each location will have different industries that you can build.
Yep. And quite thematical too. Like some areas...
Yeah.
Like Coalbrookdale, guess what they have?
Lots of iron, I assume.
Zero.
Zero iron.
Lots of coal.
Lots of coal. There you go. Who would have thought?
Like some areas. I mean, they obviously have spread it around to try and balance it somewhat. But like some areas are like, okay, if I build there, I'm building coal mines. I'm building iron mines. I'm building, you know, cotton mills or whatever. Like you could, there's really areas that you can sort of like, I guess you can set your strategy in. So you all right, this game, I'm going to try and just capitalize on like the cotton mills or the manufacturing plants or whatever.
Yeah. And I like that because we play so many different asymmetrical games like Root and everything where we play Ancestral Confluence where we play so differently and we all have our unique set of rules. What I like about Brass is it's completely symmetrical.
Yep.
So you get your own little player board that you fill up with these different industry tiles and essentially as you build them, you take them off your player mat and put them on the board. And everyone's player mat is exactly the same. So all of us share it, except for like our little people tile.
Yeah.
Which is what we use to just, it's mostly thematical. It's how we.
Yeah. And it's like a first player tracker.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a turn order tracker, rather.
It kind of prevents you from just being yellow player.
Yeah.
You can be like your person tile has two sides. And in the book, it actually has lore and history about that person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool.
Yep.
So, and you can play either side of the the tile.
I was yellow, so who was I?
Either one of two people. I can't remember which side you picked, but there's a write up in the.
Just a dude.
There you go. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I know what you know.
Not much.
Facts. So the goal of the game is to basically build up your industry because you're a young entrepreneur trying to build up your, what do you call that?
Empire.
I was going to say a state, but it's not. Yeah. It's empire. It's like during the Industrial Revolution that is not just Birmingham, but surrounding burbs.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. So as you play through the game, you have cards, and that's what enables you to build your engine. There's a deck of cards. You all get 8 to start with.
Mm.
And the cards either have locations on them, which let you build in said locations, or they have, what's the other ones? Like the industries.
Yeah, so like you might have a card that allows you to build a coal mine or an iron mine, or a card that allows you to build a brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you can use that card to build that thing, but it has to be connected to your network, which is a very cool thing. It's kind of like a lot of people have played. What's the train game?
Transport Tycoon.
No. That's what your dad said. That was some bullshit.
No, he said Transport Empire or something.
Oh, okay. But you knew it was Transport Tycoon. There's like a really popular train game that it's escaping me. Yeah.
Really?
It's like one of the biggest board games in the world.
This is news to me.
It sold more copies in the last 2 or 3 years than Monopoly.
Monopoly garbage.
If I write train game board game, then the train game board game shows up, but that's not what I wanted. Ticket to Ride.
Oh, Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride. You know how like on Ticket to Ride, you like try and make your long consecutive trains?
Yeah.
This has that same kind of vibe because that's how you build your network. So you have to like connect between each city is either a canal or a rail.
Yes, it's true.
But this game takes place in two eras. At first, you play through the canal era.
Yeah, where you can't build rail.
You can't build rail.
No, you can't.
You can't lay the rail.
Yep.
You have to build all the canals. And so in the canal era, you're building all your low-level tech, your level one buildings, and you're connecting them with rail. But the two resources you typically need to build those things, iron and
coal,
you have to build your coal and iron mines. Otherwise, you have to spend other people's coal and iron, and that helps them.
Yeah, or you buy it from like the board if you're attached to a certain location.
Yeah.
Then someone else can build a coal mine and then refill that supply that you've bought from.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool mechanics.
There are. There's one thing that was kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm smooth brain. I probably am, but like.
You are.
The whole turn order is, it's easy. You get 2 actions, right? And you have to spend a card to do an action.
Yeah.
And you either spend a card as in like I said earlier, like a location card or a building card.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But like you might do something like build a link, like a canal or a train.
Yeah.
You're still spending your card.
So
that's when it's kind of like, you in a way you're discarding and it's like, what am I going to discard now that I'm not going to need later? So you're sort of thinking about that. But for me, dude, I just couldn't wrap my head around the whole like industry cards and the location cards, and I'm like,
yeah, you constantly ask the same you constantly ask the same questions. You were like,
I felt like an idiot.
Yeah, you were. Because Churchy never asked that question, and never needed to.
Not once.
So I don't know what to tell you about that. About all that.
Just give it to me fucking straight, dude.
You're a fucking idiot, dude. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I know.
You got a lot going on. You work and stuff. Your brain's probably fried, dude.
Pretty fried. Yeah.
You saw cops and stuff.
I spoke to other cops today too. 2 times.
You spoke to other cops.
Yeah.
I don't want to detract the episode. Just like 10 minutes left. The smoker shop in Lara.
Nah.
The one that got driven into today.
Oh, I heard about
that. Did you see that?
Yeah, and firebombed like on Saturday or something.
Yeah. We live in a town where.
Small town.
Well, it's bigger, but yeah, it's in
the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of life, it's a very small town.
Yeah.
And there's a smoker shop, which is kind of out of place for our town, to be honest.
When I said smoker shop, I mean like a food shop, like a cafe. You're thinking of like a smoke shop.
I'm thinking of a smoke shop.
Where you go to buy bongs and cigarettes.
Yeah, but you're thinking of a smoker shop, somewhere you go on smoko, which is what Australians call basically
tea break
every 15 minutes of our work day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's smoko time because so many of us smoked because there's nothing else to do in Australia.
Back in the day.
Well,
now it's vaping.
Now it's vapo time. Even that's illegal.
True.
So,
anyway.
What was the point of the story? Yeah, so you're right. There are the two different cards, and they are a little bit different because the industry cards let you build on an industry. So, like, the card itself might be a coal mine.
Yeah.
That lets you build any coal mine on the map as long as it's connected to you.
That was the thing that was, like, kept throwing me, the whole connected thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, these city cards, the location cards, obviously you don't have to be connected.
Correct.
And I don't know.
Because it might say Birmingham, for example. Yeah, you can build whatever you want in Birmingham. It doesn't need to be connected.
You still got to pay for it, though.
You have to pay for it. Yeah. So if it requires coal, then you do have to be connected because you need coal to travel down your network and actually get there.
Yeah.
Unlike iron, where you don't need to be connected. Yeah. So it's a little bit trippy in that regard. But the game balances itself out so well.
It does. It does. By the end of our game just then, I was like, okay, this is all making sense. Yeah. It's all, yeah.
Yeah, it became the first time we played it. I was like, I get like this is good.
Good game. Yeah.
This is a good game, but I don't know if this is the best game ever. Mm. But then when we played it this other time now, with many less beverages,
indeed.
And also we already understood the rules relatively.
Yeah,
I felt like it started to click a little bit more. I was like, I understand that it's very forgiving. If you run out of money, you can take a loan.
Yep.
If you need to spend your iron, you can, what's that thing called?
Develop
where you remove, or if you need to like get rid of tiles off your player map, which is something you need to do sometimes, you can develop.
Yep.
Like if you fall behind in a particular area, like you didn't build any breweries.
Yeah, especially early on.
And you need to get to level 2 breweries quicker than you can build level 1s. You can develop and just discard them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of catch, or if you run out of money, did I say that already? Take a loan?
Yeah.
So, but none of those are without cost.
No, absolutely. You just discard a card for it.
Yeah. And for the loan, you go down 3 levels in the income.
Yeah. Which is another whole thing is the income. Like, so you can go down your income levels quicker than you go up.
Oh, for sure. Unless you're churchy.
Churchy.
Just skyrocketed.
Just rolling in cash.
Rolling in dosh.
Yep.
So the game essentially is an engine builder that you're all trying to kind of build a very similar engine. But I feel like the more we play that game, the more we're going to become a more aware of, like, I think it's going to become more of a game about blocking other people's engines.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of happened a little bit in the corner that Churchy and I were in. Him and I were playing in the bottom half of the board.
Yeah.
Bottom third of the board, really.
Yeah.
And like there was a couple of paths that he built that I needed to build on.
Yeah.
And it kind of, it didn't hinder me too much. It sort of just made me go around a different way and sort of split my engine into two.
But you can also, I feel like the coal mechanic is kind of the core of the game because I feel like you can, if you build a coal mine, one of the mechanics of the game is if you build something that requires coal, you have to take it from the closest coal mine.
Yeah.
So I feel like you can kind of lock people down. And there was a part where I was worried if I was trying to build a pottery industry.
Yeah.
And use my own coal. But I saw my pottery industry was 3 away from my coal.
Yeah.
But Churchy had a connection to a coal mine that if he built it, it was 2 away from my pottery.
Ah, yeah.
And he knew I wanted to build that pottery.
Yeah.
So I was worried he was going to build a coal mine there on that next turn so that when I built the pottery, because that pottery was going to flip a coal mine. And you kind of want to, all these industry tiles, the goal is to flip them.
Yeah. Because then your income level goes up.
Your income level goes up. Your victory points go up. The goal of placing a tile is to eventually flip it.
Yeah.
And so if Churchy had built that coal mine there, I would have had to spend his coal instead.
Yeah.
And help him flip his tile instead of flipping my own, I would have been put out wet. But we later found out that I couldn't even build the pottery because it was connected only by rail.
So, in that first age.
And we were in the canal era.
Yeah.
Yep. So I kind of cooked myself there.
Mm.
But when I saw that, I was like, it's actually very easy to play against people in this game.
Yep.
And because you can only put one link on each connector, so like from this area to this area, only one person can put a link there.
Yep.
It's very easy to kind of control what people do.
Mm.
And I feel like that eventually becomes the game.
Yeah, like control, screening.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Because there are things you can do if you're connected, which means if you can draw a line from A to B and it goes through any series of people's industries and links, you can do the thing. But there are some things you can only do if it's part of your network.
Yeah, so your links and your buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if people block you from doing that, it's actually quite easy to do because there are some links that can only be canals or only be rails. Mm. And the game is almost split into those two halves. You first play through the canals where you can only put boats down and run your industry through the canals.
Yeah.
At the end of that, you basically reset the map.
Yeah, everything level one gets removed.
And all of your canal links get removed.
Yeah.
And you start again. You build up your rail industry.
Yeah.
And it's super thematical, super cool. I want to know, Shane, Churchy, Fox, A, what after playing it twice, you would rate the game out of 10, and why you like it, why you dislike it, starting with Churchy.
Go on, Churchy.
Mm.
Mr. Winner.
Or if you need more time,
start with Shane. I need a bit more time.
All right. I would give it an 8 out of 10, because the first time we played it, it's kind of the same thing. I was like, yeah. I mean, I've played Gloomhaven once with you, I think.
Yeah.
And sure. I would not rate it as number one, but
okay,
that was after an hour of playing it, not 12 hours that it takes to set it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but after the second time playing it, yeah, hooked. Love it.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, just love the...
I'll tell you, dude.
$50.
Oh yeah, to get for very cheap. Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Just I don't know. Just love the idea of it. Like everything is like it's balanced in a way, and it's like it's not asymmetrical like we're sort of used to.
Yeah,
which I think is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I agree because I feel like the asymmetrical games we play, I like those because it takes the edge off.
Yeah,
you can kind of be like, oh, I lost this game because
I didn't know my strategy. I didn't know my...
Yeah, I was learning my engine. My thing.
And
it, like, when we play Root, there's so many conditions.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I couldn't do my X because I was sitting next to this person. That happens in Root a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't sell my cards to this person because this person was, like, buying this other thing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of where we sat, how we set up, the races we chose.
Yep.
And how they interact with each other. There's a lot of variables.
Yeah, where this, we're all on the same playing field.
This is chess, the board game, you know? Like, we all have the same... And the rules are known.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't know is what cards you have in your hand, but there's ways around that as well.
Yeah. I can't really think of anything that I didn't like. Like, everything had its reason. It's, you know, its purpose.
Setup is pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Considering like
a little bit like if you don't know what you're doing, it's kind of like this is pretty heavy. Like what's going on? You're placing all these tiles, you're stacking them up. They're numbered in Roman numerals 1 through 7 sometimes.
On your little player board, you're gonna stack up your industry.
Yeah. And some tiles have 3, the next tile has 1, the stack after that has 2.
Yeah.
It kind of doesn't make sense in that regard.
Sure.
Until you understand.
Yeah.
That game.
Because there are a lot of, like, there are so many extra things. Like, the core of this game feels simple.
Mm.
You spend a card, build an industry, or you build a link to that industry, and that helps you build your engine. It's a Euro engine building game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's simple. Yep. But there are so many little things like, you can only build this thing in the canal era.
yeah.
At the end of the canal era, all level one tiles go.
Mm.
So you got to think about that stuff. And all your canal links go. So you're like, oh, okay, if I build a level 2 era, level 2 industry, it's going to stay in the rail era, but it's also not going to be connected to anything because all my canals are going.
Yeah.
But I also have to make sure I flip my level 1 stuff and build it Otherwise, I'm stuck with it during the rail era. That can be something that can happen. You can have things that can only build in the canal era.
Yep.
And then when you move to the rail era, if you've still got those things, you have to like discard them.
Yeah.
And spend actions doing that.
Yep. And spend iron.
And spend iron.
Sometimes you have to buy the iron.
And if you don't have the iron mines for that,
yep,
you have to buy it from the market and pay an exorbitant fee sometimes.
That's what I was going to do at that one point, and it would have been, it cost me like £6,
which would have been a lot.
Yeah.
Or you have to buy it from other players, which helps them flip their iron mines and score victory points.
Yep.
So there's all these different things you're weighing up as you're trying to build your engine. So I'm trying to think of, I'm also trying to think of things I didn't like.
Yeah.
The complexity, I feel like, is okay. It's a weightier game for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like if you all watch a video on how to play.
Yeah, which we did. Sent us all a video. And
Churchy didn't watch it, and you said you did watch it, and then it was later revealed that you watched some of it, or rather you had it on in the background.
Yeah, I listened to bits of it.
To bits and pieces.
Yeah, it was Rodney.
It was Rodney.
Yeah, Mike D didn't watch it.
I didn't ask him to. I asked you two to. I was like, I'm not going to ask Mike D that, because between the three of us, we can teach him.
Rory didn't watch it.
Rory wasn't there. He wasn't invited.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Dude. Rory didn't watch it. So I think watch a video, play it one time, and expect just to learn the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
The second time, you feel like, all right, we can play it now. And that will reveal even more stuff. I feel like it's the third and fourth time you can start going, all right, I get it now.
I reckon next time we throw it on there, whole different game.
Whole different game, for sure. Yeah. So even that, like we mentioned ages ago when we were talking about board games once, we said there are games that you play it once and you get it.
Yeah.
There are games that you play it.
One turn and you get it.
Yeah, one turn and you get it.
Yeah.
One game and you get it.
Yeah.
And then some that take a few games before you can get into it.
Yeah.
This is definitely that few games.
Yeah. 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 I agree.
So, I mean, yeah, definitely. I feel like you can learn enough to play it after a few turns, but you don't feel like you're playing it until you've played it a few times.
It's really, that makes sense. Understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Churchy, what do you reckon? Now that you've thought about it?
I give it 8 out of 10.
Hmm.
The strengths are definitely like there's a level of complexity to it and strategy to it. There's multiple strategies that you can kind of pursue. So there's definitely like options for what you want to try and like focus on if you do want to do that. Or you can kind of like Fox mentioned, you can kind of work towards cutting other people off from getting things. There was a few times like where Shane got stuff that I needed as well. I think, just one of the weaknesses is probably just because there is a bit of complexity to it and it does take a few times to really kind of understand what's going on. Like, we've played twice now. And the game, we've only ever reached the end of the canal phase so far. We haven't even gotten into
the rail era.
The rail era, because it's just a long game with a fair bit going on. And I think, just coming to it as a fresh player, you definitely want to give it a couple of games at least to understand the mechanics and what's going on. And like, so this time, the second time we played was definitely much, much better in terms of knowing what we were doing. But even then, there were still rules along the way where Fox was like, oh, wait, there's this thing as well where we can do this or that. Or
overbuilding.
Overbuilding.
So definitely more things to learn. I love that there's like a lot of strategy to it and that you can kind of plan ahead sort of, or try to. Overall really cool game. And I imagine my rating would probably climb if I played a bunch more.
10 out of 10, you heard it here first from Churchy.
Yeah, I agree with Churchy. At the moment, I would give it, I know 7's a cop out, so I'd have to give it a 6.5.
Oh, you're under.
Yeah, but... but I also, I know this game, I can see elements of it where it does climb every time you play it, like Churchy said. Yeah. I feel like first time we played it was probably a 5.
Okay.
To me.
Yeah.
Based on like other games that I've played where like I love, like honestly, the first time we played Farshore was better than the first time we played Brass Birmingham to me.
Yeah.
But I know the fourth time I played Brass Birmingham, it's going to be an 8.5 to a 9.
Yeah.
Well, the first time I played, it was probably, I would probably give it like 6.5.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't seem to have much order to it. It just really felt very like weird and like, I mean, admittedly we had quite a few drinks.
But
it was, but it just felt more chaotic. Whereas this time, it felt like maybe it's even there was a player number because we played three players this time, four players the first time.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But this time it just felt really like we could plan and do what we wanted to try and do and and compete with each other.
True. I think that's a great point too. Like the player count, some games do have a sweet spot.
Yep.
I feel like if we had, the tricky thing is, right, we played for 2 hours, we got through the canal era and we know what we're doing.
We know more now.
Yeah, for sure. But I can't imagine it cuts down much more.
Probably not.
And the rail era is supposed to go for sort of 80% of the canal era.
Oh, wow.
Because it's the same thing again.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the same amount of cards. You shuffle the deck up. You charge them out again.
Yeah.
And you do the same stuff.
Yeah.
So, essentially, this game for us as three strategic people who are trying to win a game.
Yeah.
This is a 3-4 hour game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the drawback for me.
Yeah.
Because I want to play a game. I'd rather play something twice in 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Than play it once. But it is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see it getting better and aging because, yeah, I feel like the strategy. I also feel like one of the drawbacks that gives me the lowest score, I think, is that it can get quite competitive where we're, I feel like eventually, if we all played 5 or 6 times, eventually it gets to the point where there is a best strategy.
Yeah.
And we're all trying to achieve that. Yeah. And it gets quite gritty and competitive.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't know if that's what I want, like if that's what I'm looking for in a board game.
Yeah. You can already see that at the end of the canal phase as well. Like it's starting to brew where it's like, oh, okay, I see where you're going.
Churchy built that iron mine and just ruined my plan.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And even stuff like that.
Whole mine that cut Fox off from where he was trying to go. And
And the same thing is true in the rail phase. And it's like, it's like I was like, oh, it'd be cool if I could just go like pottery and sort of focus on that. But then I was looking at it and looking at the numbers and what it cost me. And I was like, I think it's objectively better to ignore it and just try and build links and get flipped industries. Like,
yeah, just focus on cotton and manufactured goods.
And like I was boxed out of the market that you guys had. One of the markets allows you to sell all of your industries, which flips them.
Yep.
Whereas, so you guys were competing over this one market that allowed you to flip industries.
Mm.
Whereas I was like, well, it's too dense down there. I have to build up here. But that would only let me sell pottery.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas you guys could sell whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's tricky because that means the best thing for me to do is get down there with you guys so I can sell whatever.
Yep.
But then there's three of us competing for this tiny part of the map.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, we don't need to compete. I could tack onto your networks. I don't know. There's definitely a depth there that we haven't explored.
Yeah.
And I feel like, honestly, this game would take 5 or 6 times before you go, I'm playing at my best.
I think so, yeah. And there's a bit of RNG there too because those locations, those markets that you're selling to, are little tiles that are sort of shuffled
and randomized. And
distributed. And then what, you flip them?
You flip them at the start of the game.
Yeah.
And so like, but we all have different cards.
Yeah.
And the problem was all my cards were blue. Basically, all my cards meant I could build
in the top
section.
Yeah.
Whereas you guys kind of had a bit more freedom down the bottom.
I'm pretty sure we both had some pretty good central and bottom cards.
So there is a little bit of RNG, and you can mitigate that a bit with your action where you discard 2 and pick up 2 wilds.
Oh, yeah.
But that cost me an action.
Yeah.
So on my first turn, I do that. You're already a turn behind. And then you guys have already started building down there.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that. I feel like the game balances risk-reward well.
Yep.
And catch-up mechanics well.
Yeah, yep.
And I do feel like as we play it more, it would climb.
Yep.
But I feel like you play Brass Birmingham 5 or 6 times, and you could have played 3 games of Root, 3 games of Farshore, 2 games of this in the same time and had all these... So that's kind of a little bit of the drawback for me.
Yeah. The length is definitely a little bit of a drawback. But I guess one good thing I would say in regards to that is I like that they've got the rules for like if you finish the canal phase and you want to stop and just score it up then.
Yeah.
I enjoy that because so many times we play games.
Yeah.
But we don't quite have enough time to finish them. So it was great that it was like, hey, you've reached the halfway point.
It's like, you
can score it up.
We know it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So here's a quick mode.
Yeah, and yeah. I actually think you could play just that game.
Oh, easy.
If you got, if you sat easy. Down and said, this is how we score the canal phase,
yep.
let's just play canal.
Yeah, easy.
You could do a two-hour game where you all feel comfortable with the scoring and just play that through, and you wouldn't feel underdone, I don't think. No. I feel like that's actually a really good game mode that it has. So
I agree.
Yeah, at the moment, it's sitting on the lower scale. I could see it climbing the more we play it.
Yep.
But I always just think about what else could I be playing instead, and that kind of drags it down for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
But I can under can I understand why it's number one? Like, do you think it's number one?
I just don't think any game could be number one.
Yeah, right. Like, I get that. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just like how
different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely.
So like the people that are probably so enthusiastic about board games
yeah.
that they would go on and vote for a board game
yeah.
are probably the type of people that would love Brass Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be one of those things.
Yeah.
Whereas us, I live on Board Game Geek and I don't even know if I have an account.
True. I don't know, you can make accounts.
Yeah.
Oh, so, you can comment. You can comment.
There you go. But can you vote? I don't know. I've never voted for a game. So maybe the more casual people that like us that would like to play a lot of different games, like
yeah.
chill games like Dead of Winter and Farsh or whatever else is behind us.
Plenty.
Would probably vote it lower, but yeah. Yep. I think it's great. I think if you really like a game that you could play 10, 15 times and the experience doesn't change, it's all about building your engine and having that competitive true Euro experience, yep. you would love this game.
Yeah. Yep. It's definitely more about the competition and figuring out the strategies and then competing with your friends rather than like having a casual, I mean, like you can play it casually, but it's definitely got a more competitive feeling to it than
for sure
a lot Absolutely. Of the other games we've played.
It definitely feels like a competitive game, like you play it with the hope that everyone has the same understanding about the game and you're just trying to best them.
Yeah for sure.
That's what it feels like.
Sure. Well, Brass Birmingham.
That's Brass.
It's Brass.
That's our knowledge of Brass.
Yep.
Having played a couple times.
Good.
In summary, it's good.
Good.
It's good.
Summary, good. Worth looking at. If you're even slightly, considering it, just check it out on YouTube. Check out old mate Rodney Smith and watch it played.
Yeah.
He does a great video.
It does give you a great idea about how the game is played, even just watching that, how to play.
Yeah.
You kind of get an idea. That was... My first impression was I understand straight away that this is more of a competitive, completely symmetrical, chess-like experience where you're just trying to... You all understand eventually the best way to build your engine and you eventually get to the point where you're competing to try and hinder other people's ability to do that whilst enhancing your own.
Yeah.
And that's Brass.
Love it. Love it.
Love it. Well, you exhausted?
Yeah,
that actually, big sigh was.
Thank you for watching. We hope you've enjoyed. If you like content like this, please consider subscribing, like the video, check out our second channel where we do our battle reports and our board game playthroughs.
Yeah.
Link in the description. Also, check out hobbyhomies.com for links to all our other stuff, like our Discord server where you can join for free and be a part of our little community. It's pretty awesome. People in there are always doing something.
If you're listening to this all the way up to this point, you probably like board games a fair bit.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a board game channel in the Discord where you can jump in there and just talk about what board games you played recently, what you want to play. Oh, man, we love board games. Mm. Of the entirety of our tabletop adventure, that's a large part of it. And we would love to hear about what you're playing and chat to you about it because there are so many board games. We would love to hit up in a studio session.
For sure.
It's like four of us usually in here that can play something. So let us know what you got, what you love. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. And a massive shout out to our patrons. For $2 a month, you can get early access to videos like this, battle reports, and all other kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So big shout out to our goats. We have Burnsy, Fallen Dinosaur, Gridlock, Axe Annex, MJ, Test Dummy, Black Apollo, Journeyman. And in the OGs, we have Brandon W, Moose, Elko, Churchy.
Thanks, Churchy. We got Rad Rooster, Ollie Hawkers, Pinny Agro, Don Hua Don, Pure Blind, Jackson V, Fat Boy, Kevin H, Nathan A, and
Big Roach.
We've had some dope patrons join this week.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much. You're incredible.
Absolutely.
What are you doing with your money, you irresponsible person? Thank you.
Just giving it to us. It's like so kind.
It's super kind. Yep. We appreciate it so much. It's nutty. Thank you.
It really helps. It helps us create new content. It helps us create more stuff for the studio and better content. I think our content's come quite a long way since we started.
And that's because of y'all. That's
because of you guys.
What you see, like, the fact that you see us.
Yeah, that's because of you guys. That's because of you. Yeah, because you hear us coming through the microphones. That's also, I mean, slightly because of you, but more so that we've continued on doing it.
Because of you.
Because of you.
It's all because of you.
And because of Churchy.
And also because of Churchy, which is also because of you. Y'all do it all. Thank you, Patreon.
So this is your fault.
You've done this to yourself.
So anyone listening that hates this and you've been hate watching us, it's the Patreon's fault.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're probably not a Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if we didn't have Patreons, we couldn't do this.
Who would hate watch us? Like, that's pretty, like, aggressive.
There's a thing that people hate watch people.
I can't think of anything worse.
Well, you don't get it because you're not a... what's the newest generation of iPad kids?
Gen Alphas?
I don't know, man. People hate watch people. There are people that hate watch us, for sure.
For sure.
We have too many viewers for them to be people that genuinely like us.
The people that dislike our videos.
Yeah.
That's like one guy.
Yeah. That guy hate watches us. Yeah. And we appreciate that because any interaction apparently is good.
Good, yeah.
We hate it because our egos are fragile as fuck.
Just like shatter like YouTube pane loves of glass. It.
Yeah. So thank you so much to all of you.
Leg.
You did this. You hate watched my broken leg. I broke this because you hate watch me.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, thank you so much. Hope you like Brass Birmingham.
See you next week.
Toodles.
Woo! Big up to the boys. Fox and Shane. Set your minds free, no locks and chains. Do what you love. Roll the dice. 50-50, we cold as ice. One thing cold, but a pretty turn red. Hey! Tell it, dick. Yeah. Shit, in my head, won't gaming.